Is Andy Satovitz, the host of Life and Lattes here on Chai FM, an ex-South African and Israeli trying to get home. Do you know what that word is, Andy? Can you help me out? Because I'm completely lost.
Which part? Trying, get, or home?
None of those. Actually, the name of his song, or Raiso, it was that heavy.
It comes
heavy.
From the root of or, it's a light.
Yes, so what is so? What's all I saw? I mean, I'm completely convinced
it's actually a tuff that is sometimes pronounced as a, sounds like an S.
So how would a Mizrahi person pronounce that word?
Orator,
his light. Oh, well, thank you. Now we've got a conversation because now I understand what you're saying. Anyway, let's get serious because you're in one hell of a situation. You tell me very quickly your story vis-a-vis Israel. You've been living there for how long? What's your story?
I've lived my whole adult life there. So I did a gap year after school. I finished school here in South Africa. I did a gap year in Israel, came back to start a university here for 6 months and just wanted to go study there. And 6 months into my first year here, I decided that's where I want to be. That's where I want to build my future. That's where I'm going.
Okay, so you're not
so
this anymore.
I went at 19 and I've lived my whole adult life there. And my kids are born there. And my whole family is actually in South Africa. My core family, my parents and my siblings are here. So we travel a lot. And my husband is also ex-South African and his whole family lives there. So I really do have two full families here and there. And I do have my heart and my home in two places, but as much as you take the girl out of Africa, you never take Africa out the girl. And I love coming here. I never ever left here for any bad reasons. I left here because I wanted to be there, not because of anything I don't love about South Africa. I love South Africa, but Israel is definitely home, and I miss it a lot. And it's very hard to be there to be here at times like this.
So that's what you're going to discuss with me this afternoon, because I think so many of us are trying to understand what is it about you people, you Israelis who call repatriation flights rescue flights. I mean, you're the only people, you're the only people in the world who are going to be flown back into a war zone, clamoring to get on planes. Explain to me where, why, what.
Yeah, there's no cognitive or rational logic to that. It's very heart-based and love-based and emotionally based. So it won't necessarily make sense logically why everyone would want to and try to do whatever possible to get into an active war zone, except that that is where we are. That is where our heart is. That is where our family is. That is where our soldiers are. That is where our home is. And there's nowhere else you want to be.
It's fascinating to me. I've said this for the third time today, and it's quite boring, but I was in Israel in the late 80s, early 90s, when Saddam Hussein was busy lobbing his missiles at Israel. And our instruction at the time was to sit in the safe room and wait. I mean, you could do nothing. You could just sit and wait. Yeah. And very disappointingly, I must tell you, very disappointingly, there was a long queue at the airport of Israelis trying to leave Israel. And I think it was the first time in their lives they felt they weren't good at being victims. That wasn't the Israeli way. They were fine if they were called up to go and fight, but to be asked to be sit in a bomb shelter and wait for something that may or may not fall on your head, that wasn't something they were prepared to do. I don't know. Things seems to have changed. The long time has gone between. You now have air defense systems. I mean, you're going back to a situation that you can't actually make any difference to.
Well, I don't know if that's really true. I actually think that Israelis live with a tremendous sense of purpose, and I don't know any Israeli who doesn't feel that they can make a contribution or add value or make a difference. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to fight. It means that you can volunteer. It means that you can look after people. It means that you can serve. It means that you can pray. It means that you can support people who have family members who are fighting. There is a much bigger connectedness and tapestry going on. And your sense of meaning doesn't only come from if you feel you can, make a difference. There's so much going on the ground and behind the scenes.
It's again something that I've spoken about this whole week, just because it's just so obvious. On those, they publish those lists every year of the happiest nations in the world, and there in the top 5 year in and year out is little old Israel that's been fighting wars for the last 75 years. And you just think, how is it? But I think if you've been there, you kind of understand exactly why it is. It's because there is that.
Well, what's so fascinating is that, if you look at the science of happiness, and that really is my professional background, our sense of happiness comes from multiple sources, but two of the main sources are purpose and meaning and relationships and community. And Israel really embodies both of those. So, purpose and meaning, there is no place in the world, at least if you are Jewish. But for many religions and for all Israelis, there is such a deep, profound sense of purpose and meaning in everything you do. You're walking through history. Every move you make matters. You're part of something so much larger than yourself. So there's a tremendous spiritual pull over there. And then relationships and community, you don't even have, the country's first of all very small. So the odds of you knowing someone or being connected to someone or having interactions with, people on the news, or God forbid, when you hear terrible things happen or even wonderful things happen, the odds of you knowing someone or knowing someone who knows them is so large. But more than that, the sense of community and relationships and the depth of care is, it's unparalleled. There's so many jokes about it, but an Israeli will literally not let you walk with your baby down the street without stopping to tell you they're too hot, take off their sweater. They're too cold, put on a sweater. They don't even have sunscreen on, they've got too much. And it's been translated a lot into a bit of chutzpah, but it's really not. It really comes from a place of Israelis have massive hearts and care deeply, and the sense of relationships and community is felt wherever you are.
No, I mean, you can see that from 10,000 kilometers away. It's obvious. The next question I've got for you, it probably says a lot more about me than it does about you. I've got to ask it. Is there a time, and I'm thinking specifically maybe post October the 7th, where you thought the price for all that is just too high? That government let me down. We pay quite a price to live here. It's not cheap. It's hot. There's no parking spots. You had to look after me. That was your only job. You had to look after me. And where were you for 3 days? I suppose the counter to that, sorry, I'm answering my own question, is you saw civil society galvanize and come together in a way like I've never seen any society ever come
In a
together.
way that you cannot imagine, in a way that is so indescribable, in a way that actually m made you so grateful and so
Wow, you're giving
proud
me
to belong to a
goosebumps.
nation like that. Yeah, it's really hard to describe, but I was our first Simchat Torah to which marked the day 1 year after October 7th. We were all wondering, how are we going to celebrate? It's such a happy day. All the communities are dancing and celebrating. The streets are filled. It's wow. But everyone has kids or family members in the army, and the war was still very real. We still had hostages. And one of the soldiers in Gaza put out a message that went viral. And his message literally sums up everything you've just said. He said, "Dance for us. We are fighting so you can dance. Go and dance. There is nothing that would give us greater fuel and joy and energy than knowing we are fighting so you can dance. So go and dance. Do not stay home. Do not be sad. Go and dance. Go and celebrate. Go live your best lives." And I think that that is something everyone is grappling with, because we can hold paradox. We can have grief and suffering and pain and loss and tremendous sadness and frustration and anger and everything else. And we can be so fully committed to living our best lives and making the most of everything because the price is so high, not in spite of it, because the price is so high, because people we love, I've lost loved ones, my friends' children, and because the price is so, there is no price. So we've now got a choice. And our choice is, what are we going to do to make the world better? What are we going to do to bring out our best? What are we going to do to make it worth it? And I think that that's something we're going to grapple with for a very long time, but we're going to do our hardest to try.
I have to end this with a final question, and I hate making it so practical after that beautiful, beautiful point that you've just made. But how are you going to get home? Is there any indication, or is it just way too early?
For now, I'm waiting. Most likely, I will be able to fly to Europe at some point next week and then take another connection into Israel. But for now, I'm waiting. And I'm very lucky. I'm with my parents, I'm with my family, I've got close friends here. And so I'm very blessed. I just choose to look at it as this is where I'm meant to be for now. And there's a lot in the world we don't get to control. So I'm very fortunate that I'm in a loving, beautiful place surrounded by people who love me. And I always joke, everyone's like, how are your husband and your kids? I'm like, they don't need me. I need them. They're okay. They're just exhausted, but they're okay. So we just appreciate that they're where they need to be. I'm where I need to be. And when the time is right,
You'll be home.
everything happens when it's meant to.
Andy Sadovitz, thank you so much. That was an absolute privilege. Thanks for your time this afternoon.